Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Winooski Representative Taylor Small just received the Politician of the Year Award from One Young World. The UK-based nonprofit aims to empower and develop young leaders to build a fair, sustainable future for all. Small was one of 2,000 nominees for the award, one of five winners, and the only one representing the United States. Let's take a listen to some of her acceptance speech.
Marginalized people, especially women, are asked an average of seven times to run for office before even considering entering into that journey. And so let me be the first to say, please run for office. We need you to run for office, especially local office. Be connected to your communities and stand up, because the world needs you, your perspectives, your determination, and especially your risks.
That was Representative Taylor Small in Manchester, England last week accepting the Politician of the Year Award from One Young World. She's now in the studio live to tell us more. Representative Small, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today, Connor. It's a pleasure.
So excited. There's so much to talk about. So first, let's just talk about what it was like to receive this award. You were in Manchester, England, with 2,000 people from 196 different nations. Give us a glimpse into that experience.
Oh, it was absolutely unbelievable, especially being a small state legislator coming onto the global stage to accept such an honor. And to be surrounded by so many young change makers from around the world, I think there are a lot of conferences out there that boast a big game of what you might accomplish or what you will learn in that time. But honestly, to get the world perspective on issues such as climate change, on conflict prevention, on coming together and really embodying leadership from young people, it was life-changing, to say the least.
Now, before we get into the being a change maker, I wanted to talk about how you got nominated for this award. Like, how does one come about this?
You know, I was curious myself as to where the nomination came from. So I don't know how it started, but I do know that to be on the short list, it was One Young World delegates who were sifting through, as you said, 2,000 applications from nominations from around the world. And they chose 15 standout candidates to then go to a more professional panel, we could say, including folks such as the first woman president from Costa Rica, Laura Chinchilla. And that expert panel was the one who decided which five winners would be nominated as Politician of the Year. And I feel really honored. As they said during the process, they were focused on not those who have already accomplished all that they will or have made those feats that are so important, but also the people who are just getting started, who are about to make that big change, and they want to get in early and get those supports in early.
So as somebody who's been seen on the international stage as somebody who's about to make big changes, what are you learning about yourself and what have you learned about yourself?
Well, you know, imposter syndrome is one of the most difficult things to overcome. I reflected with some friends and family that on the first day of the conference, I had to leave about halfway through because I was so overwhelmed with this thought that I was around these young change makers who were sharing stories of what they were doing in their home nations and in their hometowns. And I questioned whether or not I was at that same level. And yet, as time went on, and especially after I was able to give that speech and two follow-up panel discussions, it really sank in how important it is to have representation, especially young representation, diverse representation in politics, to break down those barriers of what we've been taught, the stories that we've been told about what it means to be a politician and how you can get in there. And so I took that chance of being vulnerable and sharing my starting story as a way of encouraging folks. And what I heard is that there were so many delegates who are now running for office, thinking about running for office, and hopefully making change on a larger scale.
And as you talk about wanting people to get in politics, specifically young people, why is that an important mission for you?
Well, I think we often look at marginalization as the various identities that we hold, whether it's race, ethnicity, gender identity, expression, ability, status. And we don't necessarily think about what it means to be a young person in this world and how we're often told to sit back, to listen, and to learn as if we don't have knowledge to give in this in these varying levels of change. And so what I want to empower us is to recognize that mentorship goes two ways, that it can be older generations mentoring younger generations to understand the mistakes and risks that they've taken and the failures that have happened so that they don't repeat them again. But we also need young people who have that innate ability and desire to take those risks and to go out on a limb, especially at a time where we need transformational leadership to tackle the issues that are sadly still pervasive in our communities. We need those young people to be able to give their ideas and to have that opportunity to speak their truth for us to realize that transformational change.
And what areas are we seeing young people make a difference right now?
Well, I think if I reflect on the One Young World Summit a bit more, there were three awards that they gave out. One was Politician of the Year, another was Journalist of the Year, so really excited to hear this next segment around young journalists, and then Entrepreneur of the Year. So thinking about three sectors where we don't hear about young people making change, and yet One Young World is going out of their way to really highlight the young leadership in those three arenas. And I hear that even next year, they're going to expand to Scientist of the Year, recognizing at a time where we look to our scientists to help guide policy and to help guide the work that we're doing on a state or national level. We need young people in there, again, innovating and changing.
What are you hearing are the main reasons for young people, marginalized people, not running for office?
Well, I think there are a lot of barriers in place. The first being that we're told that we don't have enough experience or what experience it means to go into political office. And I try to break that one down in saying that to run for office, it takes a deep love and commitment to your community to be able to show up every day, to be able to advocate, and to know the issues that are directly impacted within your neighborhood or within your district. And I think another one is money. We're told that you have to raise so much money to be able to get into office. And I don't want to say that that is not a reality, because it is. There is a level of financial threshold that people need to attain. But in Vermont, especially in local politics and at the local level, it isn't as much of a barrier as we see in other parts of the country.
You've been in the State House for 2 years now. What can you tell us about millennials like yourself in the legislature? And do we even have Gen Z representation now?
We still do not have Gen Z representation in the State House, but you never know what's going to change with all this turnover this year. And when it comes to millennials, when it comes to young people in the State House, there is a certain level that you have to prove yourself coming in, that you will be seen as juvenile, you will be seen as young, that you will be limited to your identities. And so you have to come in fighting. You have to come in ready to prove yourself to those who have already been in these positions for years to say, I can make that change now. I know what's going on. I can work in this realm. And I think that was one of the barriers that I had to overcome in this, was really being worried that I wouldn't be seen as the leader that I was. And yet what we've seen over these past 2 years is that I was able to build a coalition of folks across parties and across differences to be able to enact policy that is supportive of the LGBTQ community and beyond.
What does it take to run for office? And what advice do you have for people that are listening and saying, like, I want to be a part of a community, but I don't even know where to start?
Well, I think the first piece that I said before is a deep love for your community. And I think what's really amazing about running for office is that you only fall deeper in love with your community because you're connecting with people that you don't normally, that are outside of your circle of friends and family, so that you get a more complex view of what it means to be a part of your community, city, town. And I think the other piece is really leaning on your friends and family members, your support systems, to be able to do this. Leadership is a group project. It isn't just one person taking the helm. It is really building that coalition of people to make that change together.
Now, something I want to talk about is you play a key role in representation with several of your identities. How does that impact you as a politician?
How does it impact me as a politician? I think it's trying to overcome the stereotypes that are embedded with being young, being trans, being out as a queer person. that is an extra burden in this work. Other legislators, when they're coming in, don't necessarily have to prove themselves to the same degree. But it meant that I had to come in strong. I had to be ready to work with folks who might not recognize or celebrate, honor my identities, but to let them know that at the base, at the core, I'm a human being. I'm a leader just like them.
And now that you have this award and you can officially call yourself Politician of the Year 2022 by One Young World, do you feel extra pressure moving forward and helping make a change in your community?
Surprisingly not. I think this was more of a recognition of the work that's already being done and an encouragement to continue on, that I am being recognized, that my work is important, and that the change is already happening.
Now, if people can take one thing away in this in the last minute that we have with you, what is your message to people to inspire them to make change?
Oh, it's going to be going back to my speech initially, which is that we need a diverse and reflective representation in state and local government. So if you have ever thought about running for office, or you're thinking about, or you've been encouraged before but didn't think it was your turn, I'm telling you, it's your turn. Please step up and please get involved in your community at every level.
Who was it that got you to run for office?
That would be Representative Deanna Gonzalez, our first out queer woman of color to serve in the Vermont legislature, and represented Winooski for 6 years.
That is Winooski Representative Taylor Small. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Taylor is running for re-election for the Chittenden 21st District. Democrat Daisy Berbeco and Independent Jordan Matt is also running.